Jesus, thank God for holidays. Thank God that you don't have to work tomorrow. And the ones that aren't happy are the ones that have to work tomorrow. But for the most part, you're free tonight. Isaiah 51, verse 9. This is our cry to God. This is the cry of intercessors throughout the region for decades. I have been, you have been here perhaps all your life. I have been here for 2 decades. And I can tell you from day one when we came here in 1991 that my wife and I began to pray for revival and awakening. And it's still our prayer. I had somebody call me today that actually heard a cassette tape from 1996. That tells you the date. Cassette tape, you know, and heard a message where I was preaching revival and glory way back in the 90s. I said, well, my message hasn't changed. My passion and your passion is for the revival glory of God to be revealed. Look at Isaiah 51, verse 9. Isn't this our cry? Awake, awake, God. Clothe yourself with strength. Wrap strength around you like a garment. O arm of the Lord, awake like you did in the days gone by, just like it was in generations of old. It was you that cut Rahab to pieces. You pierced that monster through. Our cry is that God would awake. The Lord wants to show himself as a zealous warrior on the day of the Lord as he judges darkness on the earth. God is the warrior, and he's the one that will win the battle. He's the one that will conquer every force that would impede the awakening to arrive in its fullness. But I want you to know that God has an answer to that cry, awake, awake. And it's found in the next chapter, verse 1. God answers their cry and he says, listen, I'm not asleep. You're the one that needs to awake. We can cry, awake, God, all we want. But until we are the ones that will awake with supernatural firepower in our spirit, there's not a person in this room that does not need a spiritual awakening. I'm going to put myself first in line, and I have a feeling Pastor Glenn is going to be jealously jostling for that position with me. Holy competition. I want the glory. I want the awakening. Here I am, I finally turned 40, and it's about to happen. Wake up, O Zion. Zion is a people, not a place. I've got a whole teaching on that in my book on Isaiah. Zion is a people, not just a place. We are Zion. We've already come to Mount Zion. We're a Zion company. Zion is where the Lord shows his beauty and his strength. It's in you and I. So he says, awake, people of Zion. You clothe yourself with strength. He's taking our prayer and he's saying, why don't you do what you're asking me to do? You see, we all want God to do everything. We want God to do it all. And the Lord says, no, you're going to awake. You're going to put strength on and you're going to reach the lost. You're going to reveal my glory to the people. Of course I will help you. I'm one with you. I'm your beloved. I'm your partner. I am your bridegroom lover. I will be there in every step of this journey. But until you awake, tell the person next to you it's time to get up. When the Lord rises up to do battle, he rises up in a people. The Bible says that when the Spirit of the Lord, when the enemy, let's say it right here. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what does God do? He raises up a standard. Now, the standard is his people. He raises up a standard people. He raises up a people who will be as a standard. And that people will put to flight the enemy. One chases 1,000. Two chases 10,000. A full-grown Jesus is in you. And you're just scaring the devil out of the devil when you walk in the strength of Jesus Christ. Some of you could use a holy dose of boldness. Boldness is not pride. Self-focus is pride. And when boldness is attached to the blood of Jesus, the value and virtue of our boldness is outside of us. It has nothing to do with type A personality, female, male personality, our upbringing, or we don't do that here in Fairfield County. No, it's who Jesus made us to be. It's what the blood purchased us. Our boldness is in Him. Who is the meekest man on the earth apart from Jesus? And he wasn't a wimp, was he? His name was Moses. You try leading 1 million grumbling people for 40 years. I'd hit a rock too, I think. I'd kick it. And yet the Bible says Moses, this bold leader, he was the meekest man. You see, meekness is doing what God calls you to do without an excuse. If you have an excuse of I'm not worthy, I'm disqualified, I'm no good, I missed a mortgage payment, I did this, I did. Listen, who are you looking at? If God says go, the strength and anointing is in that word go. It's not who, it's Him. It's not you, it's Him. So the Lord is saying to the church, and He's saying to you and I, awake, stir your heart, wake up. Now go with me, please, quickly to Joel 2. I'm going to give you a crash course by the Holy Spirit on the book of Joel. The last one to find it has to read it. Genesis, Exodus, 1 Corinthians, 3 Kings. They moved it. Hezekiah, okay, Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion. Now, where is Zion? It's in front of us right here. It's right, this people right here. You and I are Zion. Blow the trumpet in Zion. A trumpet is a revelation message. The trumpet is a piercing sound that is released from the people. We are the trumpeters. We are the trumpets of God, the silver trumpets, redemptive trumpets that herald and trumpet out the message of God. And a message is that trumpet. A trumpet is that message. That'll help you with the book of Revelation, by the way. But the message that is to be sounded out in these last days is to sound like the piercing of a trumpet. Until you've been pierced by this message, you've not heard it. Until it pierces us. Blow the trumpet. Why? Because it's time to wake up. It's time to stir ourselves. New England, Connecticut, New York, Hudson Valley, New Jersey, Jersey. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the destined moment. And as the word has been spoken, the breath will become the wind, that will become the rain, that will become the flood. And as it does, like the falling of leaves, hearts will shake, tremble, and fall right into our churches and right into the kingdom of God. I wouldn't be surprised by early October, the harvest has begun. A lot of that depends on the awakening of the church. The stages we're in are three in number. The first is revival. The second is awakening, and the third is transformation. Let me clarify. Revival is what we're having here. It's simply coming alive again. Of course, it's an old term, but you know, so is God. That's an old term too. I got young guys telling me, dude, we don't use the word revival anymore. Well, I said, it's time to embrace it. The Bible uses it. This is the day of revival and the Spirit being poured out here in Greenwich. Thank God for a welcome mat that has been placed outside this house so that the Holy Spirit is clear for landing. That's just so wonderful. Right here by White Plains Airport, Holy Spirit, clear for landing. Don't take off, just land. Stay right here. So revival is for you and I, reviving, coming back to life. Avivamiento, if you speak Spanish. And so this coming alive again is the season we're in right now. And that soon will become awakening. Awakening is the lost. It's the hearts of men and women awakening. It's the lost at your office and in your neighborhood and in the region throughout this whole metroplex. You know, millions of souls are in the balance, and it will take a trumpet blast to awaken them. Revival preaching is coming back to a church near you. God is going to anoint preachers that have been with Jesus, have been in the holy chamber room, who smell like holy smoke, and they're going to come with revelation words. You're going to hear one of them Wednesday night. As the meetings continue this week, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, one of my spiritual sons, Jamie Dixon, is coming at the kind invitation of Pastor Glenn. And Jamie and his gang and his wife Shannon, I did their wedding just a year or so ago. And a young dude, he's, I don't know, a little bit younger than me. And he's carrying this revival spirit. And like the book of Joel describes, he is an army of awakeners is coming. Blow the trumpet. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land... Oh, the third, revival, awakening, and the third is transformation. Transformation is the culture and societal change that we all long for. The seven mountains, to use the trendy lingo. And everybody wants that transformation. They'll protest with placards and we'll do all of our stuff to try to change society. I'm telling you, bro, it's an awful high mountain to climb until you have the wind of God blow you to the top. And revival glory is what we need first. This is why I have been, I believe, sent here to begin to blow on the coals of revival. That revival, Finney's revival, Bakerfield Methodist Church is going to have a glorious revival. Lutherans are going to get life again. Evangelicals are going to get electrified. You can tell where I was this morning. Baptists are going to get blasted. I'm one of those recovering Baptists. I'm coming out of the closet tonight. I'm a Baptist that got something. Revival, awakening, then transformation. That is always God's pattern. Now, it's time to wake up from complacency, from the drowsiness of the familiarity of church life, of the same old boring revelation that was of the last move of God. You know, we don't eat yesterday's manna. Lo, it stinketh. You cannot eat yesterday's manna and get any nutrients out of it. We don't dishonor that. We actually have in the Ark of Covenant, we see the golden jar of manna. So the Lord memorializes that 40-year miracle, perpetual miracle. It's amazing. But the bread we eat must be the living bread of today. Give us this day. Give us this day daily bread. Daily revelation bread. Wonder bread. Give us today something to sink our teeth in. Give us right now on May 27th right here. Give us the revelation truth that will catapult us into that mystery of awakening and glory. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that used to proceed way back then from the mouth of God. No. Man lives by every word that currently proceeds. There is a more present truth. There is a revelation truth that's being revealed right now. There's an ongoing progressive anointing. We go from glory to glory, one revelation to another. We keep climbing Jacob's ladder. So we wake up from the slumber of unconcern and complacency. You know, I shared Saturday morning to the team that came out, the word Laodicea means people's rights. And we're so locked into our rights and we get blinded to the right of God to possess us and to own us. The Bible says you only have one right. John 1:12. To him who believes, he gives the right to be the Son of God. You can be the Son of God in every difficult situation, every pressure-filled moment. You have a right to the sonship of heaven. You can be like Jesus in every difficult moment of your life. That's the only right you have. It's a call to wake up, but it's also a call to dress up. Better get dressed. Put on strength. Put on Christ. We put on the armor of God. There's a number of wardrobe items that look really good in 2012. Designer label made exclusively for the bride in heaven. And we're to get dressed up with the armor, the radiance of Christ. We put off the sackcloth. We put off the garments of dust, our dust garments, and we put on garments of splendor. We walk in the revelation of who Christ has made us to be. We don't try to be somebody. We already are His. We already are His bride. We already are His equal partner. We already are the image and likeness of God. We are the shadow of His glory. We are the walking flames of fire. We are a tree of life to the nations. We become the very answer to the prayer we pray. Wake up. Wake up. Smell the Starbucks. Roses if you're into that, but I'd rather smell the Starbucks in the morning. But wake up and realize the season has shifted. On Mother's Day, mid-May of 2012, the winds of change blew across Connecticut, blew across New York, blew across this region. And it's not just here. I'm getting reports of it happening. And you've heard me say it's happening in Australia. There are people watching online right now because they're jealous for what's happening, because they're walking in this glory fire and awakening. And you know what's happened? After a few months, Pastor Glenn, they had their meetings. They got so lit on fire. And now the lost are coming, dozens at a time, dozens at a time. I was there to give a test. They handed me the microphone to give a testimony, and about 7-8 people accidentally got saved. I mean, it's just so easy in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, and it's happening in New Zealand, and it's going to happen in the great south land of the Holy Spirit, but it's going to happen right here in the great awakening land of Holy Spirit in the Northeast here. I have a lot I want to say tonight. And I promise to stop when you or I get bored, probably when I get bored. But I want us to look at Joel. And I want us to consider these two armies. It says in verse 2, it says that a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Those four words, darkness, gloom, clouds, and blackness. That's a good description of what's coming to America. But that's not the end of the story. You got to read the rest of the verse. But the Lord has an answer to blackness, darkness, gloom, and clouds. He has an answer. You know what it is? I already told you. It's a people. It's a people that He raises up. And there is coming like a dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army. Now, this mighty army is an army of awakeners. They're daybreakers, dawn makers. They are deliverers that are coming. Fire is in their bones. Matter of fact, it says fire is in front of them. Wherever they go, fire blazes in front of them. And it also says fire blazes behind them. That tells me they came out of the fire to go into the fire. They're just circled with fire, like Ezekiel 1, the man on fire coming out of the whirlwind, which is a picture of the last day's church. The whirlwind of glory is going to form a man. He's going to come forth. It's Christ in us. A Christ in us people are going to rise up in these last days out of that whirlwind. Don't waste a good storm and fire. Come out of it full of glory. So this mighty army is coming. Now, go back to chapter 1. Do you have Joel in front of you? Look at verse 4 of chapter 1. You have to understand the book of Joel. Joel is the most important book for 2012 and 13. This is exactly where we are prophetically today. And a proper understanding of Joel will help you interpret what God is doing. And it will also prepare you for the unveiling of Jesus Christ, commonly known as the book of Revelation. Now, verse 4, it describes an army. Here comes this army, but there it's not the army of chapter 2. There's one army in chapter 2. There's a different army in chapter 1. Many expositors, commentators will say, the army of chapter 2 is the locust army of chapter 1. I don't get that, especially when it says the Lord is at the head of the army of chapter 2. And this army of chapter 1 is a devouring army. And in the Hebrew language, there are many words for locusts. How many ways can you say locust in English? If you're really clever, maybe two. Grasshopper? Locust? Well, in the Hebrew culture, the locust was such an amazing, ominous sign to the people And they actually called this locust the devourer. And in Malachi, when it says rebuke the devourer, it's speaking about the locust. Now, these four locust genres or categories of locusts are very important, and they pictured the biggest issue going on in the church in Greenwich, Connecticut, right here. Us, not just harvest time. I'm not addressing it just to this church, but to all of those watching online, every one of us here tonight. Here are the four locusts. Now, in English, I'm reading it from the NIV version. I can't wait to translate this in the Passion Translation, but it says the locust swarm, and then it speaks of great locusts, and then it speaks of young locusts, and then they didn't know what to call them, so they just called them other locusts. Okay? Let me give you my translation. This is a draft of the Passion Translation. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust left, the crawling locust comes and eats up. And what the crawling locust leaves, then the consuming locust has eaten the rest. So these four categories of locusts, let's take them one at a time. First is the chewing locust. You say, where are you going? I mean, I come to church, a revival meeting, and you're talking about bugs. Well, just, you know, keep your ears on, good buddy, and listen to me here. The chewing locust is also known as the palmer worm or even the cutter worm. It is a creepy, gross, ugly thing that you want to just squash whenever you see it. It is a worm that comes from its egg in the springtime, and it's wingless, crawling creature that's known as the gnawing or cutter locust. This locust is a prophetic picture of wrong focus. It crawls in the dirt. It crawls and just consumes the coming harvest. And I believe that there are people that are so focused on their sin and the earth and the difficulties and the pressures and the pain of this planet and the economy and the politics. I mean, come on, you can get so sidetracked just reading your paper in the morning or just turning on the newscast. You can get so tied up with stuff and you lose focus. This is a spirit that has come against the church to put our eyes down. Pastor Glenn mentioned it this morning, a spirit of infirmity that caused the woman to bow down and look at the dirt. There is a spirit from hell that wants to keep you earth focused. And when somebody comes with revelation message of heavenly truth or tries to bring a wind that you're not used to because you're looking at the dirt and you're focused on the mess of this planet, it's just a foreign language to you. That wrong focus limits, it chews up the life of the spirit through dead traditions, doctrines that are rooted in limitations, what man can't do, what we can't do. You can't do that. We don't do that here. It keeps the sheep immature. It convinces them they're unable to soar, to fly into the realms of the Spirit. It blinds men to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to the open heavens that are available to every believer. It's a earth focus, a wrong focus. It cuts off entire portions of Scripture. It's the cutter worm. It cuts off, the book of Acts, you can't go by that. That you can't build doctrine out of the book of Acts. Well, you can't do Matthew because Matthew is only for the Jews. And, well, you can't do Old Testament because that's not even relevant anymore. And the Gospels are kind of pre-Calvary, so you can't really go by that. And then what you do is you cut off everything except, we like Paul. We like Paul. We're of Paul. And we do to Paul what the Catholics do to Mary. And we start getting a revelation that is Pauline, and it's wonderful. But there's more, guys. And the riches and treasures of the book of Psalms, the Old Testament, the revelation of Israel's journey, which is told to be a picture of our journey. We don't go. We don't understand it. And that cutting off of Scripture and keeping it from the people of God, that comes from wrong focus. The second locust is the swarming locust. It's also, you and I would call it the grasshopper. Now, this word in the Hebrew means to multiply or to increase. It's just, it quickly, rapidly spreads. It's like a horde that just comes. And this swarming locust travels in massive numbers. It swarms over the land. It destroys the crops right at harvest time, right when everybody's ready to appreciate the fruit of their labors. And then this swarm of locusts comes and ruins it. I believe this is a spirit of intimidation that comes against the body of Christ. that comes like the children of Israel, when 12 spies went into the promised land, they came back with the report and they said, we look like what? We look like a bunch of grasshoppers. They're so big and they're so strong and they're so mighty and we're just bugs. And I'm just a bug on a windshield. That's kind of what they're saying. And they lost sight of the God who led them out of a Red Sea, who led them through the split open water and got them out of with 10 plagues. He brought them out. Every one of them healed. Their shoes even got healed. That's what it says. Their shoes didn't even wear out. Poor gals couldn't buy them. So they had to, you had to have the shoe healed. And they forgot of all this, and they quickly, faith was devoured, and the fruit of Christ's life that starts to come from us, come out of us because of Miracle-Grow and the fertilized heart where the Spirit waters us and begins to breathe on us, and Christ comes forth from us, and then all of a sudden this intimidation comes and says, who are you? Shut up and sit down. Kind of like Eli said to Samuel, go back to bed, I didn't call you. And that whole intimidation thing, it works in conjunction with the religious spirit, and it swarms over the church to keep us from emerging out of our dark wilderness, leaning on our beloved, full and fair as the moon, bright as the sun, like a majestic army, stars in procession. Instead, we come out shivering and trembling and going, I can't do anything, I'm no good. Gosh, I blew it last week, and I've had a hard time. Listen, doesn't matter what time you're having. He's having a great time. And he absolutely loves you. You're not a problem to God. You're a partner to God. You're not a project or a problem. You're a partner and a pleasure to him. Everything about you he loves, he delights in. You just got to get this intimidation off of your heart. You can do the works of Jesus. You can do even more than you've ever seen anybody do before. There's no limitation, no lid. Don't go by the false finish lines that others have set for you. Let the horizon stretch out further than it has. It's just a cloud. You think it's the horizon. Keep going. There's further, further, more, more, more waiting for you. Don't shut up and sit down. You go forth in the name of the Lord your God. This is your promised land. We're so quick to let unbelief limit us, not realizing that the book of Acts only happened the day before yesterday. Days like 1,000 years, right? Just the day before yesterday. Pentecost was the day before yesterday. That's okay. I like it. Number three, the crawling locust. The third locust is the cankerworm. This is the stage where the locust develops small wings and it hops but doesn't fly. It hops around but doesn't ever fly. And it's the cankerworm. This is the one that's known as the devourer, and it needs a rebuke. It's the picture of compromise. It'll let you hop around, but never soar in the Spirit. You can hop, you can taste a little bit of the gifts of the Spirit, but you can't really soar. It's the compromise where a lot of cankerworm preachers have the microphone and hop around the platform and do meetings and revivals, but their hearts are corrupt. And sin suddenly comes out later. They get exposed. Compromise. It's a locust. It's the palmer worm. It's the cankerworm, I should say, that has devoured integrity, honesty, purity, and power. Cankerworm preachers are everywhere that'll move in the gifts of the Spirit, hop around, but they devour the church through their hidden sin, opening the gates of darkness to come upon marriages in the church, upon finances in the church, because the gatekeeper of that church is the pastor, the shepherd, the apostolic leader of that ministry. They become the gatekeeper that lets in and closes the door. And what we shut, it's going to be shut by the name of Jesus. He's given us the key of David. And what we open by our compromise, it's going to come in. Thank God for a pastor that opened up the gates for the Holy Spirit to come in and to wash over us and to just baptize us and soak us here. The last is the consuming locust. This is the most dangerous of all. It's the mature locust with full wings. It's known as the stripper locust because it consumes everything. When it comes into the land, there's nothing left. Absolutely down to the ground. Even trees have been known to be consumed by these horrible swarms of locusts. And I believe this is the full-blown persecution of the new thing God wants to do. And guess who persecutes the new thing God wants to do? It's the people that cling to the old thing God did. You know, for every David, there'll be a Saul that'll come after him. For every Samuel, there'll be an Eli that'll tell him to shut up and sit down. And there's got to be a generation that says, please go past us. Please ignore the weirdness of the boomers and go past us and rise up without the limitations. Wouldn't you like to have a generation that's not dysfunctional, not self-centered, not focused on them, that will rise up and go to the nations instead of throwing our Saul spear at them? You know, the Bible says we're going to beat our swords that we use against each other. We're going to beat them into what? That's harvest, baby. That's cultivating. That's getting the field ready, the plowshare for a harvest. What about the spear? We'll beat our spears into pruning hooks. That's to deal with the issues of competition, jealousy, strife, and the flesh in the body of Christ. We need the pruning hook. It comes from the jealous spears that we once threw. Isn't that amazing? Well, I want to ask you something. You ever heard of John the Baptist? What did that dude eat? There is a John the Baptist anointing, the spirit of Elijah, that is going to eat everything, consume these foul things that have come against to limit the body of Christ. Dude, do not be limited. You rise up with the spirit of Elijah. Receive it right there, sitting there with looking pretty. Joel's army is going to eat locusts. So here's John the Baptist. He's got locust legs hanging out of his mouth. Guess what he drank? He washed it down with honey. The honey of revelation. Honey in the Bible is always a picture of revelation. Psalm 19, the word of God is sweet like honey, even the honeycomb. You know the story of Samson when he went back to look at the lion's carcass. I'm going to say this real quick. If you know the story, you're with me. If you don't, go read it. In the book of Judges, I think chapter 13, Samson goes, kills a lion, tears him apart. The lion was the Sphinx. It was a spirit over Philistia. It was the ruling principality, the deliverer, breaker, anointing. Came into the region and he was confronted by that Sphinx spirit, that lion-like thing, and he tore it up. Went on for his hot date. Then on the way back from his date, he said, you know, I think I'm going to turn over and go and look at that lion carcass. That was quite a deal there, where the Spirit of God came on me and I ripped a lion to pieces, and then nobody YouTubed it or nothing. Nobody got to see that, you know. And so he went over to go look at the lion carcass. Guess what was in the middle of the carcass of the lion? Now there's revelation waiting in the deepest, worst trial, difficulty you've ever been in. Just go back again and look at it. Wait a while, go back and look, you're going to get honey out of the carcass of a lion. There's sweetness waiting. The revelation truth of what God did in and through you is there in the carcass of the lion. One more thing about Johnny. He ate locusts, drank honey. What did he wear? You know? What was that? Hugo Boss? H&M? Express. What did he wear? You know what John the Baptist wore?
Camel hair?
Yeah. And I bet you anything he turned it rough side in. That would make me preach repent. If I had to eat locusts all day and scratch, I'd want to make it your life miserable too. I don't know. We'll find out. But you know, there's something about these camels. And I've got like a whole bunch more, but this is probably where I'm going to end. Something about these camels. Don't smoke it, but listen. I want everybody to say, the camels are coming. Whew, Mufasa. Say it again. So Say it again. Now say, what in the world does that mean? I'm going to tell you. John the Baptist ate locusts, washed it down with honey, Revelation, and he wore camel skins as a prophetic picture to the people. I think you got the locust as the picture of Joel, that the people that walk in the anointing of Elijah are going to eat the locust that once intimidated Israel throughout their history. We are going to devour. They're going to be food for us. And we're going to have revelation. We're not going to eat the husk. It's like eating the cardboard box and throwing away the cereal. That's what we've done in the church for so long. We've been eating the cardboard. And believe me, the revelation is coming forth. Men and women that have been with Jesus are going to bring revelation, potent revelation words that will cause our ears to tingle with the fresh power and vibrancy of power and truth behind their words. The camel is what Eleazar loaded up with gifts for the bride. Eleazar was the servant of Abraham. I have this, by the way. Just happen to have a book out there on the table that has all of this in there. Forgot which one. I did forget which one. I really don't know which one, but it's in there. But, okay, Eleazar, God is my helper. That's what his name means. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. You know, Abraham sent the Spirit with gifts for the bride. Now, let's put the pieces together. He took 10 camels. One for Eleazar, 9 camels loaded with gifts for the bride. You're about to get a gift tonight. We're going to end with like party. Everybody gets a present at Pentecost. Everybody gets your own candle coming off your head. What a good birthday celebration for the body of Christ. The Hebrews believe the Ten Commandments, the law, was given on the day of Pentecost. You know that. At the hotel I'm at, it's overrun with these beautiful, lovely, yarmulke-wearing Jewish people. And I got on the wrong elevator because they have a Shabbat elevator that stops at every floor. And I'm at the 10th floor. And the door opens at number 8. And this lady's standing there laughing at me. I said, I know, I got on the wrong elevator. I wish I was on the 8th floor, and then the door comes, and then the same thing on the 9th floor. They're laughing at me again. Anyway, I get all the way up to my room. Okay, the point is this. Eleazar gets on one camel, and he has behind him 9 camels loaded with gifts for Rebecca. Okay. You got to get this. Okay, you're Rebecca. Let's have a Rebecca moment, okay? You're all Rebecca, okay? And you got your water jug, and you're coming to the well, and you look, and here comes 10 camels. And she says the most stupid thing before she could pull the words back in. She said, oh, well, let me water all these camels for you. What a bride, huh? There's going to be a servant bride. Kind of like Ruth at midnight at the feet of Boaz. There's going to be a Rebecca bride. And so Eleazar, he says, I don't know how he did it, but I kind of imagine it like this. You know, Rebecca, that is your name, right? Yes. Rebecca, my master is really wealthy. Camel number one. Jewels, necklaces, designer clothes, shoes. Camel number two. More gifts. And she's going, you know what? I like journey. I like travel. I like trips. Camel number three. Loaded with gifts. Rebecca's going, what was the name of your master that sent you to find a bride? Camel number four. Five. 9 camels loaded with gifts for the bride. And in this last day's outpouring, it is an outpouring for the bride. It's the bride's revival. This is the bride's revival. And you're going to get gifts. You're married up. You're really going to be shocked by what He does for you, what He does in you, what He gives to you. Prophetic revelation that you'll know what to say tomorrow at work. Prophetic words to speak. Dreams that reveal the secrets and mysteries of God. Angelic visitations. And that's just the first week. Week two, then He starts coming to you in your dreams and He begins to breathe on you and release His glory to you. Week three, He says, come and let me show you the cloud-filled chamber. And before long, you're on this mystical, glorious journey of becoming a radiant bride. Everybody say, radiance is in my future. He's coming back for a radiant bride. Listen, sweetheart, you're going to have none of this rhinestone trash. You're not going to have the baubles, Claire stuff. We're talking about the best. We're talking about the diamond exchange. We're talking about make your eyes blind looking at them. Gifts. Embroidered garments. Holy Spirit coverings and glory. Rainbow revelation colors. Woo! I'm getting blasted up here. I want some of this that I'm preaching. Rings, baby. I mean rings for your toes. Even earrings. It said earrings and nose rings. Now, when we read that to the Kuna people that we ministered at in the jungle, they knew it was the word of God because they wear nose rings. At puberty, every girl wears a nose ring. So they love that one little feature in the Bible about Rebecca was going to get a nose ring. Close your ears, girls. You did not hear any of that. But that was way back then. Hebrew culture. Nah. I heard your mom. I got it. Gifts are coming. Holy Spirit has gifts. So my wife texted me at 7:30 this morning and said, I just had an amazing dream that the Holy Spirit was going to give gifts for the bride. She didn't know I was speaking on this. And then who was that that came to me? Who? One of you peeps came up and told me about, oh, Rich, what was that? Somebody at Gateway had a word? What was it? Gifts were going to be given out tonight. Man, I'm glad I'm here. Like a holy piñata, come and get it, man. Bang! Woo! Take it. I'm going to get yours if you don't. Nine camels. How many gifts of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I'm telling you, the word is so rich. I'd love to teach a Saturday seminar on the book of Joel someday. Maybe we'll come and do that. But there's so much here. Joel's army is coming like a mighty army, like the dawning of a new day. The dawning that hits the mountaintop first and races down the mountain, that light of dawn. And so the light of dawn is coming. Not because we won the White House, but because we have God's house. Where's your hope, bro? Listen, my hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where we've got to find revival. And I'm all for taking culture and society and transformation, but that's the byproduct. That's the fruit of where we're going with awakening. So, man, I really feel the pleasure of God tonight. I feel the pleasure of the Lord. You know, there's a river of pleasure. There's an oasis of bliss. That's how I translated it in the Psalm, Psalm 23. The word in the Hebrew is actually, He leads me to an oasis of bliss. Pleasant waters or cool streams. I forgot what it is in the normal version. But this oasis of bliss. Does Abba love you? Such a silly question, but can you receive Abba's love tonight? It's Abba that revealed Christ to us. And it's Abba that released the Holy Spirit to us. Pentecost is heaven's celebration for the glory of the cross. It was heaven's delight to reveal the Holy Spirit. And you know how the Holy Spirit made his, like his entree, how he made his, you know, entrance? I like it. He repeated the pillar of fire and glory of Exodus. He came in that well-known figure of a spinning cloud of glory. And it was fire. It was a whirlwind of fire. Can you imagine? I don't think Spielberg and Lucas could do this. I'm talking about the most powerful whirlwind of blazing fire. It suddenly, like a wind, came into the room, and their eyes bugged out, big as saucers, and they're looking at each other, and then all of a sudden, the fire flame, the pillar, divided up into 120 pieces, and everybody got their own personal pillar of fire. Would you like to have your own personal pillar of fire? And that's what it was. The flame of fire was the pillar, miniaturized pillar of fire is now upon every one of us. You need it on your head. I'm telling you, there's some things in there that need to be burned up. It didn't come on their hands. It came on their head. I can just see James looking at Peter and say, Pete, you got fire coming out of your head. Pete says to Jim, dude, you got flames shooting out of your forehead. Forget the halos. They got fire beams coming out, man. And then all of a sudden, and 120 of them began to crackle like wood in the fire, like the sound of dead wood. And they began to speak in these languages. 17 different languages are named there. And the gift of tongues was released on Pentecost Sunday. And even more than that, prophecy was released. I mean, I think sometimes we settle for tongues when God would like to give prophecy. It's okay. I like both. I'll take the duet. I'll take the twofer. But you know, tonight, wherever you are in your walk with Jesus, you are going to receive a gift tonight. Man, I like that. I like saying that. Can I say that again? Wherever you are, whoever you are tonight, you are going to receive a gift from the Holy Spirit. He's a good father. He's a happy God. He's not in a mood swing and you just kind of catch him at the right time. He's always blissfully, gleefully, joyfully, radiantly, explosively joyous. He loves his job and he really likes his family. And you catching him at a great time on Pentecost Sunday. And he wants to bless you. He wants to give you gifts. He wants to give you treasures. He wants to open up those 9 camels. I like that. Forgive me for liking my stuff too much, but I do. I like it. My wife's watching, and I'm sure she's going to give me a good text or two before the night's over. You kind of liked what you said too much. I said, oh, honey, keep me straight. Keep me straight, baby. But I do like that. Take some gifts. Oh, you know the end of the story. She got on one of those camels and rode with the gifts all the way back. And you know, smoking is in the Bible. It says she lit off her camel. When she saw her beloved. You got to tell me, Pastor Glenn, you heard that one at Bible college. That's as old as, you know, tennis. You know, Joseph served in Pharaoh's court, you know. Baseball in the big inning. Oh, yeah. One of Job's comforters. He's a little short guy. Bildad, you know, the shoe height. Bildad, the shoe height. Kind of short. Oh, Holy Spirit, you just want to come with gifts. He may give you the gift of laughter. You know, that's a good gift. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. How come we put laws against the fruit of the Spirit? You can't OD on joy. God's not going to ever come and slap you and say, you are too joy. Quit rejoicing so much. You're too happy. He's not going to say, oh, you got too much peace. You ought to worry like all the angels up there. They're really worrying. You ought to worry like they are over what's coming. No, there is no law against such things. No boundary, no limitation. Just OD on it. Take all you want. So tonight, I want you to, if I could say this, and I want to say it in a way that you understand me, I want you to be tenaciously sanctified, greedy for the things of God. You know, the Bible kind of uses that term when it says to covet the best gifts, to covet the gift of prophecy. I want you to covet. I want you to greedily snatch your piñata. Whoo, when that baby opens up, you go for that. And if I were in a meeting and the Holy Spirit said over and over and over, gifts are going to be given to the church tonight, I would come, man, I'm telling you, I would come up. I probably wouldn't even wait for the preacher to invite me up. I'd probably just jump up there and just say, you know what? I want some of this stuff. If the Holy Spirit is pouring it out, get under the spout when the glory comes out. He's opening the faucet and he's going to unveil gifts for the bride. Everybody say, it's Pentecost. It's the birthday party for the church. Holy Spirit, come any way you want to and bring anything you want to, because I know it will be good. You are the Father of lights. You are the giver of good gifts. You'll only give me what is right. So I'm coming asking. I'm coming with my gimme on. And I'm asking you, Lord, will you give me the gift you have for me tonight? Oh, come on. Ask him right now. Ask him. Say, Lord, over here. Right here. Holy Spirit. Woohoo! Right here. Right here. Holy Spirit, come. Come with glory. Come with your gifts of power and love. Come on. This is the bride's revival. A good husband will give gifts to his bride. A good husband will give gifts to his bride. It took 30 days. Flowers. My wife's watching online. She knows this is true. Every day for 30 days, I brought a message and flowers unsigned and left it. Because I knew if she knew me, bro. I mean, she knew the BC before conversion, Brian. And I knew I had to do it right. I'm telling you, I'm not saying I'm a good husband. I'm just saying a good husband got gifts for the bride. It's what you can give her. You're thinking about her. Do you think Jesus is thinking about the bride tonight? You think he wants to give you a gift? I've said enough. I know it's true. So Holy Spirit, like that rushing mighty wind, come into this house like you promised prophetically. You gave my wife that dream. You gave me the word of the Lord. Then you spoke prophetically to other people in the region that tonight you are going to give gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, here we are. We ask you, Lord, in the glory of heaven, we ask you that revelation gifts will be imparted. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, working of miracles, prophecy, the Spirit of the Lord bubbling up with prophetic utterance, the Nabi word of God, the prophetic word coming forth, the Rhema burning in our spirit. Oh, it's filling right here. The cloud is coming. The cloud is coming. I see the glory of God on you, my brother, right here in the black shirt. Right there. The glory of God's all over you. The cloud. I saw a cloud come over you. And it's not a like cloud of confusion. It's a cloud of glory. It's a wrapping itself even now. Even now. Go ahead, usher. Pray over him. He's going to go right over. He doesn't need me to. Whoa, there it is. Glory. More. More. Fill. Fill, 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 fill with your glory. More God. Woo! Somebody pray for that guy. Man, wow, wow, wow. Come on, just keep your eyes on Jesus. I may call out some people with prophecy. Whoa. Oh, I'm telling you. I want what he's drinking. Lord, give me what. I'll take what he's drinking, Lord. Woo! Oh, yeah, there it is. Pow! Man, you watch that man. There's something going to really, really radically change in that man's. He's already a good man, but something powerful is going to come when he gets up. Gifts of God are being given. Woo! Come on, keep praying. Keep praying.